All right, we're going to talk about tonight seven steps that God takes us through to bring us to that place of revelation and what revelation really is about. We use it as a word, but sometimes we don't really take the time to stop and think about what does this really mean? Revelation. Why did Paul pray? I pray that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Why did Paul ask that? You know what I think is really interesting about that passage of Scripture? If you look over in Ephesians 1. In fact, let's flip over there just for a second. And let's just kind of skip quickly through the first chapter of Ephesians. I want to show you something that I think is really interesting. Paul says, to the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, blessed is God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. This is a wonderful passage of Scripture for establishing that God knew what He was doing before He ever started doing it. We'll look at this a little bit later as we go. To the praise of His glory, of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Now this is interesting to me because Paul takes some time to say, this is who you are. This is who God created you to be. He predestined you. He planned you. He gave you the spirit of adoption. He's forgiven you. He's redeemed you. He's purchased you. Go through that passage again and look and see all of those things that Paul reveals. He says, this is who you are. But then watch this. Then he says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, etc., etc. But here's what I find so fascinating. Is that Paul just finished, he spent the first 14 verses of the book of Ephesians. Of course, there weren't 14 verses when he was writing them out, but he spent that much time saying, this is who you are. Then he said, now I'm going to pray that God will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That God will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. In other words, I hear Paul saying, this is who you are, and you probably already know that in your mind. You've probably already heard that from other people. You've probably already accepted that theologically. You've probably already come to the place where you think you understand that this is who you are. But I'm going to ask God to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I'm going to ask God to open the eyes of your understanding. I'm going to ask God to do something sovereign, to take what you already know in your mind and light it up in your spirit. See, I don't think we've really understood that. How many of you have experienced God telling you something that you thought you already knew? Yeah? When suddenly the light comes on and there's this divine, oh. Yeah? And you thought you knew, but then you knew. And God lit something up inside of you. See, that's what I think Paul's talking about, and that's what Revelation is about. So let's flip over. We're going to go through the seven steps of Revelation, and as I'm watching the clock, I'm finding out this timing is going to work. This is going to be unbelievable. This is good. Hanging a clock down there was a smart thing to do. All right. We're going to take you through tonight the seven steps that God works in our hearts to bring us from a place of total ignorance to the fullness of what He wants to do in us. So we're going to look at seven steps to a revelation of God. All right? We'll talk about what the word really means as we go. Revelation always starts with information. That's the first step. Information. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The first thing that has to happen is information. And this is exactly what it sounds like. It is information. It's just the facts. It's just the Bible says, da, 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 da. All right? It's data. Do you say data here or data? Data. Good. All right. I was just thinking, as in commander data. No, not that kind of data. But this is the first step, information. All right? Here's an example. Somebody tells me, or I read somewhere, that Jesus rose from the dead. That's not revelation. That's just information. It is just a simple fact. All right? So to have revelation, we must have first the information of the Scriptures as a basis from which the Holy Spirit can operate. We cannot understand God, who He is, apart from knowing His Word, but that starts with information. So to have revelation, we must have the information of the Scriptures as a basis from which the Holy Spirit can operate. Very difficult for Him to illuminate information that you don't have, that you haven't put in. That's why Bible study is an important discipline. It gets the information in you. All right? You got a little chart right here in your notes that says the blank and the blank always agree. Right? These are the blanks. The Word and the Spirit. The Word of God and the Spirit of God always agree with one another. And I like this little chart. It says the Word without the Spirit will cause you to dry up. It results in things like the Pharisees, legalism, traditions. The Word of God without the Spirit of God. Paul said the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So the Word without the Spirit will cause you to dry up. The Spirit without the Word will cause you to blow up. This is what results in the kind of spooky spiritual stuff and cults and all the kind of off-the-wall kind of extreme things, people that are kind of out there in the spiritual realm, but with no foundation in the Word. But if we can find a proper balance between the Word of God and the Spirit of God, we will grow up. And that will lead us to a place of maturity. Right? Revelation starts with information that the Spirit can work on. Information is that stuff that's received from the five senses. What you see, what you hear, what you taste, what you touch, what you smell. It's usually received from man. It's either your own observations or you get it from newscasts or television or radio or teaching or conversation. All of those things are ways of communicating information. So revelation always starts with information. All right, step two, inspiration. Inspiration. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is what it says in 2 Timothy 3:16. You might want to jot that one down. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be equipped, might be thoroughly prepared unto every good work, it says in 2 Timothy 3:16. So the second step is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That word inspiration is from the root word that means to breathe. To breathe. In other words, when the Holy Spirit breathes upon the information that we already have, He inspires us to take that information and to do more with it. He will breathe. It's like, did I lose you somewhere? Where? B is inspiration. And three, received through man. Let me see. Ah, yes. Sorry, it's received through man. I understand where I lost you. Forgive me. My notes are different. I got a whole lot more in my notes than you have in yours. Just little things to remind me. And so I failed to mark my notes that was... It's received through man by the five senses, or by the five senses, is number three. Okay? Received through the five senses, or received through man. Now letter B, which is the second step to revelation. Sorry, didn't mean to foul you up. Letter B, which is the second step to revelation, is inspiration. Okay, are we there? Are we all together? Good. From the root word meaning to breathe. That should be number one. Okay. And that's where 2 Timothy 3:16 needs to be jotted out to the side somewhere. Because that's where the word comes from. Say, all Scripture is given by inspiration from God, breathed on by God. And it basically, when the Holy Spirit breathes on the information, He will cause you to begin to hunger and thirst after more understanding of what that information means to you. How does this apply to my life? In other words, I'll take that information that Jesus rose from the dead and is the Savior of mankind. And as the Holy Spirit begins to breathe on that information, I will begin to recognize the need in my own life for salvation. I will begin to recognize that there's some things where I need to understand more about how can I take this information and make it personal. And that happens by the breath of the Holy Spirit as He begins to inspire, right? And then that will lead to step number three, which is letter C. I probably should have done this the other way around and numbered them for you, but. And that is illumination. Illumination. The lights come on, and suddenly this is, oh, that's true. Oh, that is really right. We still haven't come to the place of real revelation. That's just the place where we now accept that this is fact for me. That's just an accepted fact. Right? And there are a lot of people that are operating in accepted fact. They've been illuminated and they understand the truth, biblical truth. And they walk in it because they understand in their heads that this works, that this is fact, and that this is true. This is not what we're talking about when we're talking about real revelation. This is just the place where things have been illuminated. For example, there's a lot of people in the business world that understand that you reap what you sow. Yeah? And they operate out of that. There are a lot of people that understand that it is wise and it is the right way to live, to do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. And they live by the golden rule. And it's they're living by biblical truth. This is not revelation by the Spirit of God, but it's been illuminated to their minds that this is fact, that this is true, that this is a right. Okay? So we're not talking yet about something that has really impacted us in the spiritual realm. Unfortunately, a lot of times this is where we tend to stop as believers. We read the scriptures. We say, okay, the Bible is the Word of God and the scripture says that. Therefore, I accept it. I understand it. It's true. I begin to apply it to my life, and I find that it's an effective way of living, but the person of Jesus Christ has yet to be revealed in the midst of all of that. You hear what I said? The person of Jesus Christ has yet to be revealed in all of that. And I think that's where a lot of us tend to stop. I sometimes think that I have revelation when it hasn't really penetrated or impacted my inner man. It's only impacted my mind. It's only impacted my understanding. It's impacted me in the realm of my head. Right? Those of you who were in the counseling course may kind of understand that when we're dealing with ungodly beliefs, we're dealing with places where we may have illumination that this is not of God, but the revelation hasn't broken through in the spiritual realm yet, so we're still operating internally out of lies, where in our heads we understand that that we understand the truth, but the way we're living our lives still hasn't been impacted and changed by the spirit of revelation. All right? So step four then, after the Holy Spirit breathes on information and brings illumination to the place where we accept, wow, this is true, then we come to revelation. Does that surprise you that that revelation is the fourth step in the seven steps? It surprised me. When I first heard this, I thought there were seven steps. Number four is revelation. Wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. I think it will. Because revelation always comes with purpose. God does not reveal Himself just to show off. God has a purpose for revealing who He is. And we'll see what that is in just a minute. All right, revelation is literally unveiling. That's what the word means, unveiling. The Greek is the word apokalupto in Greek. Apo means to take away. Kalupto is a covering that's actually related. The kalupto is the word that is related to two primary Greek words. They are the word krupto, which means to conceal, and klepto. You know what a klepto is? A klepto, which means to filch or to steal. So apokalupto is to take away all that was concealed or stolen. To take away the covering. It literally means to remove the veil. The book of Revelation, in some of your Bibles, it actually says apocalypse. The book of the apocalypse. It's where we get the English word. It comes from apokalupto. And it's why apocalypse and revelation is translated two different ways in the Bible sometimes, because that's the Greek word. But literally what it means is to pull away the covering, to unveil Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit came to reveal Christ in you. Christ revealed in you, as opposed to you. That's Christ in you, not Christ to you. There is a difference between having Jesus presented to you and having the Holy Spirit pull away the veil so that the awareness that He is in you and working in you. You understand the difference? I'm trying to put something spiritual in words, and it's difficult to do that. But that's what real revelation begins, when the Holy Spirit pulls away the veil that covers our own hearts. He pulls the beam out of our own eye, and suddenly we can see. He takes off the blinders that have been put on our eyes by the God of this world, and suddenly Christ in you, the hope of glory, comes to life, and you realize He's in you. In other words, revelation is a living communication from God that comes only out of a relationship with Him. It's a living communication from God. In other words, the Word that is in you, the Logos, the information of the Scriptures, suddenly becomes a living person. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word isn't pen and ink on paper. The Word is a person. And when the Holy Spirit pulls away that veil, suddenly all that information that was information in you becomes a living person in you. In our example, that's when I realized that Jesus died for me. This was personal. And internally, I know that had I been the only one, He gave it for me. And that this relationship is between me and Him. And nobody else. Revelation. The lights come on, and suddenly, step five, realization. Suddenly, I realize, wow. As I become aware by revelation, and realization and revelation kind of tend to happen at the same time. The veil is pulled away, that's revelation, and I come to a realization of Christ in me. That results in action. In other words, revelation, real revelation, will result in some sort of action. An application of that to our lives. That's letter E. When suddenly it became personal and He died for me, the resulting action is, I need You in my life. I invite You as my Savior. Something sovereign's taken place by revelation of the Holy Spirit. But the action results in a transformation. That's letter F. And step six, transformation. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. Be metamorphosed. This is the Greek. Meta, to change, morphos, form. Be metamorphosed, from which we get metamorphosis. The caterpillar turns into the butterfly, right? What happens is, as revelation happens, as the Lord, by His mind, impacts our spirit, the realization happens, we become transformed. Something changes. We are changed. Old things pass away. All things become new. In this area of revelation, things, the way we see things changes, the way we respond changes, the way we react changes as we're transformed. And now this is important because transformation is automatic. That's the first blank on your page. The transformation, if it's happened by real revelation, the transformation will be automatic, not a conscious decision. I'm not talking about, I understand the facts, so I have decided to change. That's not what I'm talking about. There are many people walking in the Christian walk who understand in their heads that this is how it ought to be, so they make a conscious decision to change. So I will change the way I behave because I understand the information. That's not the work of grace that I'm talking about that's happened in the inner man. Transformation is automatic. It's not a conscious decision, but a work of grace in the believer's, in the believer, as God works in him to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, I can, that's, by the way, that's Philippians 2:13. That might be a good one for you to jot down. It is God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God does the work. He changes what you want. He changes what you do. Inside. Let me illustrate this in my own life. I know lots of people who've gotten saved, realized that they were the, realized in their minds, knew in the natural, that they were the temple of the Holy Spirit because somebody told them so. It was information. Here's what happens. We realize I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. I may be destroying the Holy Spirit. God doesn't want me to do drugs anymore. Therefore, I'll make a conscious decision not to do drugs anymore. And they stop doing drugs out of Christian understanding, out of true understanding that it grieves the heart of God for an individual to do, you know, to hurt the temple of the Lord. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. But when revelation really happens and you're really transformed in the inner man, the whole desire for that will leave. When I quit after 12 years of drug addiction, for those of you who don't know me, I had given up trying to quit because I'd tried so many times and failed. When I asked Jesus into my life, the day I asked him into my life, I was playing in a country band and I went to the bar to play that night. The people looked different. The music we were playing, I suddenly realized this is a harmful message. And when by force of habit I went out into the parking lot and got high with the band like I always did, on my way back into the bar, I thought, why in the world did I do that? I feel horrible. Something that the day before I couldn't put down in my own strength was suddenly transformed. It was gone. The desire was, it was horrible. Something internally took place. And that's the kind of transformation that comes as a result of revelation. I'm not talking about I've changed my behavior because I understand something in my head. When the Spirit of revelation opens things up inside of you, you are transformed. You become a new creation. Christ in you. His character and nature becomes yours. You become a partaker of the divine nature. You don't decide I'm going to change the way I behave. Your nature is changed. When we find that place of real revelation, when the Holy Spirit unveils that. That's what I'm talking about. And lastly, the world sees it. There is a manifestation. This is Christ through you. When that transformation takes place, others begin to see that change. And there is a manifestation. This is Christ through you. All right? If you want to go back in your notes and just jot out in the margin, the letter C, illumination, Christ revealed to you. If you want to jot that in, I'm kind of going back. You can maybe put these out in your margin. Illumination, Christ revealed to you. Revelation, Christ revealed in you. Then the manifestation, Christ revealed through you. Because the Holy Spirit, when He does His work of revelation, when He does a work, He wants to reveal Jesus to you, then Jesus in you, and Jesus through you to the rest of the world. That's the ultimate work of revelation. And I think that's why Paul spoke after he gave all this information in the first 14 verses of Ephesians. He said, now I'm going to pray that God will, by His Spirit, give you a spirit of pulling away the covering, taking away everything inside of you that is hiding Christ in you, that is stealing Christ in you. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit will now do a sovereign work so that everything of the flesh, of the world, and of the devil that is trying to hinder an understanding of the person of Jesus Christ will be pulled away by the Spirit of revelation, so that you, the eyes of your understanding will be opened up, that you will know who He is, and you'll know the hope of your calling, and you'll know the riches of your inheritance among Him in the saints, that He demonstrated by raising His Son from the dead and seating Him at the right hand in heavenly places. Not just so you'll get it in your brain, but so that what started out as information will transform you, will bring such a change that the world will see the person of Jesus Christ in your life. That's what Paul was praying for in Ephesians. That's what we're praying for in assignment number one.
I thought this might bring some clarity. No, it's not anything that you left muddy. It's just that I was thinking this would add maybe to our understanding of this. And that's that this isn't a one-off thing. It's like we're going through these steps in different areas of our lives, and we're in different places in different areas of our lives. You know, I might actually be at the place of that last step of manifestation of God being revealed through me in the area of His love. I might have real revelation of that, and transformations happen in my life, and God is able to reveal His love through me, perhaps. But in another area, say like His desire to bring freedom in my life, I might still be at the place of information in that area. And so it's good to realize that this isn't like a one-off thing, you know, like we suddenly in our whole life come to this place of manifestation where in every area of our life we are revealing Jesus Christ to the world. But it's like we're in different areas in every area of our life. God's taking us through this process of revelation and transformation and manifestation. And so in some areas we'll be way up here, and in other areas we're going to be way down here. But that's part of the process that He's walking us through.